Today's daf is Yud-Tet, Kiddushim Yud-Tet. We're going to start back at the sixth line of Yud-Chet Amabed at the two dots by Rava. Refuah Shlema L'Dvar Abadina, Osavram Shum Ben Chana, Carmela Ben Imo, Lipnim Bat Rachel Frida, Chaim Alk, Esther Bat Zipor, Dani Ben Rem Chayarut, Yosef Ben Rachel, Leah Bat Rivka, Fal Yashua Falak Ben Bracha Batya, Yamir Bat Chaya, Rina Chaya Bat Shoshani, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Talia Rachel Bat Tamar Sarah, Alexander Ziskin Ben Menucha, Liloy Nishma Chana Bat Atara, Reza Bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov, Halevi, and Mela. Okay. By Rabba Baravua. Rabba Baravua asked the question. Yeud nisuinosa o erusinosa? Okay, we asked some questions yesterday, and hopefully the answers to that will become more clear over today's talk about Yeud and how it works. So now we want to know, does Yeud, when the master decides to marry the daughter or marry the slave, the maidservant, or marry the maidservant off to his son, is that act of Yeud that he does, is that nisuin or is it erusin? Okay, what are there two stages, are there one? Nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? What's the relevance? Li Yorsha, does he inherit her? Because remember, erusin, you don't yet inherit. Li Tameila, to become Tame to her if he's a Kohen. Ula Hafer Nedarehadi, he's allowed to be made for her Nedarim, cancel her vows. Mai. Tashma. So first they bring a source, okay? They're going to bring a few sources and they're going to reject them as proofs. Bibigdoba, Kevan Shaperes Talito Aleha, Shuv Eno Rashai Lamochra. We saw this before, right? That Bibigdoba means, remember we said there were two different interpretations. So one interpretation is that he puts his talit on her, right? And therefore he can no longer sell her. So now what are they going to infer from her? Who can't sell her anymore? Once he does the marriage, then the father can no longer sell the daughter. And we learn from here that ein shifchut achar ishut. That once you do ishut, there's no more opportunity to sell her as a shifcha. So now what does it say? Zibune hu delo mazbin le haye ude miyayidla. It sounds like you can't sell her but as a shipcha, but in theory she could get married, right? She could do a kiddushin again. V'iya martini suinosa. In other words, it sounds like they want to infer here very simply. What did they infer? If there's yehud, right, which we don't know is a kiddushin or nisuin, and then what happens? And then something happens and he dies or, you know, and it never goes past there. So what happens? The father can't sell, right? We can't. Shiplut is no longer allowed. The father can't sell her into shiplut. But what do we derive from here? The father can't sell her into shiplut, but he could sell her into marriage. He could be mekadeshota at this point. That's the inference.
He himself,
the father. The father now, in other words, she could revert back after Yehud, in theory. Okay, again, this is all an inference. He can sell her to be a shipcha after that, but in theory, maybe he could make her into, you know, sell her, mekadesh her to somebody else. Via mart nisuin osa. Now we're going to see why it obviously can't be nisuin then. Because if it's actually nisuin, what do we know about a woman who gets married? Kevan she niseit shuv ein la via reshupa. Once she's married, the father can never marry her off again. They're done. In other words, she gets married and he's no longer. And if he does kiddushin, then he's allowed. And let's say the husband she's engaged to, or the man she's engaged to, dies or divorces her from kiddushin, the father can be mekadesh her again. But once she gets married, even if she's still a ketana, she's now, the assumption is, right, there's a certain level of maturity, and she's finished with the father. The father can't marry her off again. So therefore, elalav shmamina, it must be that we can infer from here the erusinosa. Okay? That's the way we understand to begin with, and right now. But now, Rav Nachman's going to say, no, you misunderstood this source. Okay? Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, or not that you misunderstood it, but you could read the source a different way, in which case we wouldn't come to this conclusion. Hacha b'kidushin da'al makai. When they said, now he's taking this totally out of context, b'bigdoba was the pasuk about the shikha. But now they're saying, no, when it says, kevan she peres talito aleha, shuv eino rashai lemochra, what are we going to infer from here? That it's talking about once kiddushin de'alma. It's talking about regular marriage, not a marriage of, not yehud of a maidservant. Yehud we could also read as being a kiddushin. We can say that word is synonymous with kiddushin. In which case, hachikamar, this is how it reads. כיוון שמסרה אביה למי שנתחייב בשערה כסותה ועונתה, שוב אין יכול למוכרה. It's basically coming to teach you that אין שיפקות אחר אישות, right? We said before, אין שיפקות אחר אישות, אישות of the maid servant to her master. Now we're going to say, אין שיפקות אחר אישות, once he marries her off to someone, kiddushin, anybody, then he can no longer sell her to be a shifcha. In other words, that can't happen after there's been some sort of form of kiddushin. In which case, that source isn't talking about a shifcha. In which case, we can't learn from it to our issue about the ye'ud of a shifcha. Is it nisuin or is it erusin? Okay, second source we're going to attempt to learn from. Tashma, ein mochra lekrovim. We can't sell her to relatives. What kind of relatives? Relatives that there's Issur Araya for. Remember, because what did we learn? We learned this before. Since she's supposed to ultimately marry them, if it's someone that she can't potentially marry because it's an Issur Araya, we're going to distinguish between Issur Karet and Issur Lav. We saw that before, that if it was an Almana to a Kohen Gadol, you could, or other Issur Lav. But anything that's Issur Karet, the higher level Araya, those you can't sell to. But Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru Mochra Lekrovim. Rabbi Elazar thinks you can sell her to Krovim, even though you can sell someone to be a maid servant, even if she can't ultimately marry them. Vishavin, now they all agree, here we have it, Shem Mochra L'Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyot. Everyone agrees that when it comes to an Isur Lav, not Isur Karet, you're allowed to sell her. Because what's the issue? We learned this way back in Yevamot, I think, in Ketubot, that when there's Isure Karet, and let's say you marry your father, okay? You're not allowed to marry your father. Let's say you marry him. Ain Kiddushin Tofsim. There's no such thing. The Kiddushin doesn't apply at all. But if you marry an Isur Lav, there was a machloket about it, but we pask in that. If you marry someone who's Isur Lav, like a Mamzer, you marry a Mamzer, there is a good marriage. Okay, it's just forbidden for you to do it, but the marriage is considered a marriage. So therefore here also, since potentially he can marry her, even though it's usher for him, but since it's only an Isra Lav, and if they would get married anyway, there would be Kiddushin, therefore it's allowed. So now, what are we going to learn from here? Hi Almana Hechidami. Wait a minute, how could we possibly have an Almana? An Almana that's going to be sold into slavery by her father, how could that be? So let's see. Ilema de Kaddish Nafsha, if she married herself off, and that's why we say, what has to happen here? She marries herself off, and then the father has to now sell her to be a shifcha.
She marries herself off, and something happens.
She somehow got married. We don't know how she got married. We're going to talk about this in a minute. She somehow gets married. Then her husband dies. Okay? Then she goes to be sold into a shifchut. So if the father, right, how could that happen? That's exactly the point. First of all, you could read this very simply. You could say, it didn't really mean the Almana case. It was just listing all sorts of chayve lavim, not actually thinking that this case would ever happen. It's almost like a catchphrase, right? If you're talking about Isur Lavim, you're going to say the Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza. Yeah, you're going to throw those terms in. So that's possible. But anyway, they take it as it must be an actual case because it says it. So let's figure out how the case could actually happen. So Ilema de Kaddish Nafsha, if she married herself off Almana Karela, she has to still be a Ketana because otherwise she couldn't be sold into slavery. So there's no such thing as a Ketana selling herself because she has to, there has to be Dat, and a Ketana doesn't have Dat. So that can't possibly be. Ve'ela de Kaddisha Avia, mi matze mazbin la. Veha, if it was her father married her off, he can't possibly sell her now, because what did we learn? Now you have to remember, there was a machloket about this, but right now they're going to go according to Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say about shifchut achar ishut, right? There is no shifchut achar ishut. Now, just keep in mind that Rabbi Lezer disagrees and thinks there is shifchut achar ishut. Okay, so keep that in mind. But now, what are we going to say? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, so mi matze mazbin le, how could he sell her? V'ha ein adam mocher bitol the shifchut achar ishut. So if she was married off to someone, kiddushin, assuming, because nisuin, obviously not, because once she's married, she's in her own reshut, her father definitely can't sell her to be a slave. But let's say she's an almana from kiddushin. The father sold her there. He can't possibly now sell her. He married her off to someone. The guy died. He can't possibly sell her to be a shifcha. So how could she be a shifcha? V'amar of Amram, Amar of Yitzchak, hacha b'kiddushe yeyud. We're talking about that the kiddushin was from What kind of kiddushin was there in this case? Kiddushin from her first, she was in, they were going to see that there were two shifchut, right? There was the first one, and it was kiddushe yehud, and you'd have to say that it's a liba to Rabbi, now we said ein shifchut achar shifchut, right? And the father, so now what are we going to say? A liba to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar ma'ot harishonot lav l'kiddushin nitnu. What does he say? That the first, when you, how does this marriage work? On what money does it work? When you get married, right, when you do kiddushin, there has to be money transferred or some, right? There's other ways of doing marriage, but the assumption is that there's money transferred. So now, what happens? Some people say, and this is not Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see his opinion in a minute, that when the father sold the almana, sold the daughter to be a slave, that money is the money of kiddushin. That when the slave owner gave the father money, that was the kesef kiddushin. Now, the kiddushin didn't happen then, but when ultimately he did the ye'ud and said, I'm going to marry you, then that money retroactively became the money of kiddushin. Which means, basically, there's going to be a very important nafkamina. It means retroactively she was married from then. So if in between somebody marries her, that marriage is invalid because that money from originally, right, basically means she was married from before, in which case the second marriage can't even be tofes. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, the ma'ot harishonim lav l'kiddushin nitnu. And then we'll see later what he holds, how he holds, what money is transferred at that point when he does Yehud. But it's not the first money, which means what? That the father's not involved at this point. You follow? The father is no longer in the picture. The father sold her into slavery. Now the man marries her without the father's involvement at all. Okay, now this goes, we'll see later, this goes to the question of, well then, does she have da'at to agree? She's a ktana still. So how could there be da'at? And we talked about yesterday, does she have to agree to the marriage or not? This is going to be a little bit of an issue. We'll see this soon.
Is it the same marrying the father or marrying the son?
It doesn't matter. Either one is the same. Yeah, whether it marries him or whether it marries his son, it doesn't matter. So now, what are we going to say? So here we were talking about Kiddushe Yehud, in which case, what happened? The father wasn't involved at all. So now, when you say Ein Shifchut Achar Ishud, it's only the father can't sell his daughter twice, both for Ishud and then for Shifchut. But in this case, the father didn't sell her for Ishut because he sold her to be a slave earlier, but now he wasn't involved when the Ishut took place because we hold up Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, the transfer of money didn't happen way back. It happened between the woman and the girl and the owner. And therefore, the father had nothing to do with it, and therefore, Ein Shifchut Achar Ishut doesn't apply here because the Ishut had nothing to do with the father. Only Ein Shifchut Achar Ishut when the father did the ishuk. Okay, he married her off. So now, v'iyamart nisuin osa. Now, obviously, we're going to have to say that the kiddushe yehud here, right, once we say it's kiddushe yehud, now it's going to teach us about kiddushe yehud. It has to be the kiddushe yehud was only kiddushin. Because if it was nisuin, again, what are we going to say? Kevan shenisei tshuv ein lavia reshupa. Okay? Since once she gets married, the father can't possibly sell her anymore. So therefore, here there was Kiddushe Yehud. The reason the father's allowed to sell her now to Shifchut to someone else was because the Ishut had nothing to do with him. It's according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda.
So the Shifchut Achar Shifchut?
So, right. So then you'd have to say that they hold by the opinion we saw yesterday that there were two opinions about whether you could sell your daughter twice or not. So you'd have to say that this holds by the person who says you could sell her twice. So now, ve'elamai, so now they say, wait, ve'elamai, erusin osa? Now we're going to reject this. We're going to say, wait. You said, it's osa erusin, v'shavin shemochra, right? Everyone agrees that he can sell her to the almana and all that. Ha ein adam mocher pito l'shifchut achar ishut, elamai ilachamemar, shane, in other words, now we're going to say, how could he possibly do erusin? Because it says here that he can sell her a second time. How could he do that? So, Marshani Erusin Dida Me Erusin De Aviha. Now we're going to say that what's the difference here? The reason why this works when the father's allowed to sell her a second time is because, as he can sell her, because the Isha, right, the Erusin is a different type of Erusin, because the father has no involvement whatsoever. So now they're going to say, Afilu Tema Nisuin Osa, Shani Nisuin Dida Me Nisuin De Aviha. You could also possibly suggest that maybe this Nisuin is a different type of Nisuin. And it was a Nisuin that would allow her to go back to her father somehow. In other words, we're saying, what's the issue here? It's a weaker kind of Erusin, a weaker kind of Nisuin. Why? Because if the woman is involved and not the man, right? Or really, I should call her the girl, right? It's between the girl, right, who's a minor, okay, and the Adon. So now, right, it's between the two of them. So when the father marries her off, when she's a ketana, it's a marriage midoraita, a strong marriage. This marriage is a weird kind of marriage. Not to say it's not doraita, but the girl is the player here, and she's not even of age. So maybe you could say that her nisuin is totally different. Maybe she doesn't go into her own rishut in this case, eventually, right? Maybe it's a whole different ball game. And therefore, you can't necessarily learn from this, whether it's erusin or nisuin. You could still read it as nisuin. So now they say, okay, so now we try to answer our question. Is it erusin or is it nisuin? Now the Gemara says, so we rejected both our answers. They say now, hi, my, so what's the case? What is it? Okay, we want to know. Bishlama erusin me'isuin shane. Ella nisuin minisuin mishane. So now they say, you could say that there is a difference between Erusin and Erusin, because Erusin, the father, again, had nothing to do with it. So therefore, if they do the Erusin, right, since he didn't do it, so maybe he still does have power to sell her. But Nisuin, you can't, we tried to make that distinction, but now they say, no. Nisuin is Nisuin. In other words, you can't start making distinction between different levels of Nisuin. Nisuin is Nisuin, and it takes her out of the Rishut of her father. So therefore, they're going to conclude here that, right. In other words, they're saying no matter what, she goes.
The yud only affects Erusin, not Nisuin. Because he can't make a distinction between the two Nisuin.
Right. They basically say that was a bad, that didn't work what they tried to say, that Erusin could be different from Nisuin, because at the end, Erusin is different from Nisuin. In other words, Erusin, the father, wasn't involved, and therefore you can't necessarily say, you can say he could still sell her again. But when it comes to the Nisuin, we always say Nisuin, no matter what, always takes her out of the Rishut of her father. So therefore, you know, you could still say that, and therefore it must be that it does its Kiddushin and not Erusin. Okay, so now, this was all according to?
It's Kiddushin, not Nisuin.
Sorry, that it's Kiddushin and not Nisuin. I said it wrong, sorry. It's Kiddushin, it's not Nisuin, and after the Yehud, right, that's why she could still possibly get sold into Shiprut again, because it's not actually a marriage. Okay? They say there's a distinction between Erusin and Nisuin, and therefore you can't make that comparison that they tried to make. This was all according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, though, that the father has nothing to do, and that's how we have the Almana case, right? Because the father has nothing to do with the marriage, because the money from the beginning was just for the selling of the shifchut, and when the kiddushin, the betrothal came along, it was from new money, basically, and the father wasn't part of it at all. But l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak damar afilu l'Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda ma'ot harishonim l'kiddushin nitznu. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, even according to Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that the ma'ot harishonim were given for kiddushin. So now we have a big problem. B'may mokim la. How is he going to explain that source? Because then the father was involved. So how could the father have sold her to be an almana? Sold her. Then she became an almana, and the father can now sell her again, because ain't shifchut achar ishut. So how could that possibly be? So now it's going to be very simple. Mokim laka Rabbi Eliezer to Amar l'shifchut achar shifchut hu dula matzim izabin la aval l'shifchut achar ishut matzim izabin la. We can just say very simply that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it was dafka the case of shifchut achar shifchut can't happen, but shifchut achar ishut could happen. Then though you have to question, which is how could. Right, you'd have to say basically, I guess, that he sold her into shifchut, but he sold her really for the purposes of marriage. Retroactively, it became a marriage.
Can it be a direct marriage? Why couldn't it just be that he sold her into marriage, she became an amana, and then he sold her into shifchut?
Because once there's marriage, right, that's what it would be, right, yafe. That's what it is. That, right, this would be a case, It would be a case where she was sold, she was given for kiddushin purposes to the first guy. Then you could explain it much simpler. Then you don't have to say it was a shifchut case. He couldn't possibly say it was a shifchut case. That's why I was stuck. Because he says, ain't shifchut achar shifchut. It would be a case where he married her off to someone, betrothed her, not marriage, betrothed her, the guy died, and then he sells her off to be a shifchut. Because Rabbi Lezer holds that yesh shifchut achar ishu. Very simply, thank you. Okay. Bye, Rish Lakish. Can somebody marry her off to his minor child? Now, in general, a child who's a minor, right? So the girl, we resolve it by saying, oh, you can marry her off when she's young because the father affects the kiddushin for her. But the man has to be bar da'at. Nobody marries off the son, right? The person himself gets married to somebody. Either he gets married to her directly, or he gets married to her through the father, and he gives the money to the father, right? And then the father is the one who has the agreement. But maybe in this case, they want to suggest that when it comes to Yehud, it's not exactly, right? It's almost like you need less of a marriage ceremony, because you're already designated to her, right? She's designated to the master or to his son already from the original agreement for the purposes of marriage. So maybe he could marry her off to his son while the son is still young. Because here you would have a case where the father can really marry off the son and use the father's da'a to affect the kiddushin. So Amar Rahmana, bino kol dehu, do we say, it says bino, so therefore maybe we say bino kol dehu. Sorry, I read it wrong. Ma'u shubiyad adam lebino katan. So now it says, bino amar rahmana, right? The son to his son amar rahmana. So maybe you would think, bino kol dehu, any son, whether he's of age or not of age. O dilma bino dumia didide. Since his son is taking his place, then his son would have to be like him. Ma'u gadol af bino gadol. And then you would need the son to be a gadol. So amar rabbi zera, tashma, let's learn from here. There's a drasha when it comes to eshet ish, okay? The pasuk is, right, ish asher yinaf et eshet ish. So now, what are they going to darshan from this pasuk? Ish prat lekatan, when are you chayav in eshet ish that you get karet, right? If, right, you get, well, you get more than that, you get killed, but mita beitin, if you sleep with some married woman. Ish, it says in this pasuk, comes to exclude a katan. Now, this is going to be a little problematic because we just explained that a katan can never marry someone, right? So what are they going to say? So, ish asher yinaf et eshet ish, prat la eshet katan. V'i amart, right, the wife of a katan. V'i amart miyaed im kem matzinu ish la katan. This must be the case, right? This must prove that you can marry off your slave woman to the katan, because otherwise, where would you ever have a case of a katan marrying somebody? Okay, in other words, what's the assumption? The assumption is there's a drasha that says if a katan is married to a woman, he doesn't get the mita beitin, which means that there must be a case where a katan is married to a woman, he just doesn't get the penalty. So what could that case possibly be? That must be our case. Here we finally have a case, so that proves that there is by a katan. Ve'ela mayeno miyaed, right, so now they're going to say, so if you want to say that he, this is just continuing the answer. The elamai eino miyad. If you want to say that he can't designate, you know, he can't designate his katan son to marry the daughter to be betrothed, the slave woman. Amai kamimai lekra tivshomina demiyad. In other words, then there's nothing to be mimayet from the pasuk. There is no other case. So therefore, we must conclude from here that you can't be miyad b'no katan. Amar of Ashi, Rav Ashi says, no, you can understand this. There's some other case where a katan can marry someone. What's the case? Hacha b'yabam ben tesha shanim v'yom echad. What did we learn about a yabam? That a yabam, once he's tesha, since yibum is affected by sexual relations, and at 9 he's considered to have sexual maturity. So, right, whatever, you can argue with that.
Maybe in those days they did.
Maybe. Okay. Hacha b'yabam ben tesha shanim v'yom echad. Right, you have to be 9 in a day. Habal yivim toas kinan. In other words, oh, it's a yabam who slept with his yivama, okay, the woman who was designated to him, after age 9, askinan. Demida oraita chazyala. In other words, mida oraita, this is an effective yibum. It's an effective marriage, in which case, that would be the case where he's not chayav an eshet ish. But he is considered married. Mao detema kevam demita oraita chazila ubiato bia habala mitchaye beishadi. She might have thought that since mita oraita, right, he is considered to have sexual maturity and he's considered married to her, and his bia is bia. You might have thought he'd also be mitchayev on Eshedish if he now goes and sleeps with some married woman. Kamash malan. So therefore, we learn that it's not the case. Okay, so now we don't really know what the situation is now with this bino. Is it gadol? Can a katan? Bino katan, can you marry him off or not? What did you want to say?
I was just going to say, I think the reason that they picked 9 is it is kind of a ridiculous number. But they really don't want this woman to be in a situation.
Think they want to have her to get out of being stuck. That's why they do it. Except that the age of 9 comes up in other contexts. And by girls, it's 3, and by boys, it's 9. So still a little questionable, that whole age. I don't think this is the only relevance of it.
We talk about girls 9. Well, that was girls.
Right. There's different stages. I mean, like we've talked about this before, that the age of 12 and 13 that we use now is that the age, and those days wasn't. It depended on also, maturity was different. There were stages. My havela, so what's the situation? Tashma, let's learn from here. Amar Rabbi Aibu, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Ein Ye'ud Ela B'Gadol. Oh, here you have it. He says it very explicitly. You can only do Ye'ud when he's a Gadol. Ve'ein Ye'ud Ela Midat. Okay, now this seems to imply what? This seems to say, that's why you can't, right? Because ein yehud elami da'at, and therefore he doesn't have da'at. There's no such thing as da'at by someone who's not a gadol. So now we're going to ask a little bit of a question on this, though. It doesn't make sense. Tarte? Now, why do we need to tell us ein yehud elami gadol and ein yehud elami da'at? It would have been enough to just say ein yehud elami gadol, and we would know that ein yehud elami da'at. So now they're going to say 2 explanations, and that's going to lead us to our question from yesterday. The first is going to say that we read this as ma ta'am kamar, meaning ma ta'am ein ye'ud ela begadol lefish ein ye'ud ela midat. The second was coming to explain the first. What's the reason why we don't have ye'ud be'katan? Because you can only do ye'ud midat. It's not meant to be 2 separate things. Be'ibayat ema, some people say no, it's 2 totally separate things. My midat, one is talking about the man and the other is talking about the woman. So my midat, and here we get to our big question, does a woman need to have dat when they do yeyud? That was our question from yesterday. Midat dida. The dat, when it says ein yeyud ela midat, it means she has to know about it. Okay, now, detane abai, okay, now this, we'll read this in a minute and then we're going to go back because we'll see, this isn't so clear cut. Detane abai, abai brings a braita, bereid Rabbi Abau, the son of Rabbi Abau. Asher lo, this isn't the regular abaya, this is a different abaya that we're hearing about. Asher lo ya'ada, right, when it says in the pasuk that he didn't, and if he didn't, right, there's the kriuch tiv here, the lo and the lo, whether we read it as one way and say it as another way, but here they're using lo with an aleph, that he didn't designate her. Milamed, what do they do with this word ya'ada? Shetzarich li ya'ada. He needs to let her know, he needs to inform her, okay, like, They're using it to mean like liyadea, to explain to her. Okay, now, what does this seem to imply based on our question the other day? Oh, just one more minute. Hu tanela v'hu amrala. He brought this right and then he explained it. B'kidushe yeud. That this is talking about kidushe yeud, this pasuk, the way they're darshaning it. Okay, that when he designates her to marry him and she needs to have da'at. And it's all according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who says, this now goes to what we talked about, Ma'ot harishonot lav l'kidushin nitnu. And therefore, it's Ma'ot l'kidushin harishonim lav. If you say the Ma'ot harishonim are for kidushin, then you'd say what? The whole business deal was between the father and the master, and you don't need the woman to have any part of it at all, because if you need both sides to be involved, well, the father did it for the daughter, like we see with Kiddushin. He could do it for her, assuming she's a ketana. And in this case, she's clearly a ketana. Okay? So therefore, they're saying, this goes according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Ma'od HaRishonim Lav HaKiddushin Nitnu, and therefore, the Yehud is between the Adon and the Amma, exclusively, and therefore she needs to have knowledge. We're going to talk a minute what exactly this knowledge is that she needs. Now they're going to say, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Afilu Tema L'Kiddushin Nitznu, even if you say that the Ma'od HaRishonim were given for Kiddushin, Shane hacha da amarachmana ya'ada. What are they going to say? It's true that technically speaking, it's really the business deal is between the father and the Adon. But since the Pasuk said Ye'ada, it's telling you, despite the fact that it's really the business dealings between them, you still need to inform her. You still need to let her know about it, right? We need her. Okay, we're going to talk about what this dot is. Okay, so you follow? So either we learn it from logic stating that, well, since the Ma'od HaRishon note and the father has nothing to do with this, it has to be between him and the daughter, and therefore the maidservant, and therefore she needs to have dot. Or you say that the father is involved, but the pasuk comes to teach her, despite that, she needs dot. So now, it's a big machloket among the Rishonim, what kind of dot this is. Okay, so now, first of all, there's a big problem saying that she has to have dot because she's a ketana. The second she becomes a na'ara, she's no longer, he can't marry her. We're going to see even in a minute that he has to marry her. There has to be some time left still for her to work for him. It has to be some time before na'arut that he does this ye'ud. I didn't find out at what early stage he could do it, at what age, I don't know. But he definitely has to do it before she's a na'ara. So if she's not a na'ara, then she doesn't have dad. So what does it mean that she has to have dad? So either we say that, look, there was some agreement between the father to begin with, so therefore the level of da'at that we need for her is less, and she's old enough that her da'at to agree to this marriage is sufficient to say it's willing, okay? And then it fits in with the general framework of what we say about Kiddushin, that the woman has to agree. It's basically like a regular marriage. The woman has to have agreement, and even though she's a ketana, her agreement is sufficient. In this case, we take a lower level of agreement, because there was some sort of agreement between the father, and therefore we accept a lower level dot. That's one approach. But some of the Rishonim don't like this because really she doesn't have dot. And we always say, anyone under 12, you know, na'ara, she doesn't have dot. So therefore, how could it possibly be? So they darshan the word ye'ada. What do they say? You have to let her know. You don't have to have her agreement, her consent. There's a difference between telling her what you're going to do or having her consent. So some of them understand from the sugi here, and that's why it's unclear what the halacha is here, and that it's unclear, there's different approaches, whether you actually need her consent or you just need to inform her. That's it's a very unclear aspect of this Gemara, which is obviously a very critical, you know,
they also seem
element.
To be using the word da'at in two different ways. Once when they describe it as the boy, right, they use it to mean that he's too young to understand, and
right.
Now they're using it to that you have to inform her. It's like two different
right.
translations.
Exactly. So they're right. Well, that's why I said they darshan the word. The word says, it doesn't say exactly da'at here. It says ye'ada. Okay? It says, right? Melamed shetzarich liya'ada. It doesn't say she needs da'at. Okay? It's a bit of a different word, and that's why, now you could just say they're using that because they're playing off on the word ya'ada, so they're using that word, and they mean da'at, they mean the same thing. They're just using a different word because they're trying to take it straight from the word ya'ada, and they say, oh, there you see, ya'ada, he has to let her know. Mm-hmm. It's unclear, right? It could go either way, and that's why there's a machloket about it. Okay. My Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So now we want to go into this machlo, you know, this opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya ye'ada vehefda. Okay, these are in the pasuk, right? Im ra'a be'ne adoneha, if she, you know, is bad in his eyes. This is in Shmo Kafalef pasuk chet. Asher lo ye'ada, right? That's the kriuchtiv. Is it low or low? Vehefda, and then he redeems her. You know, she gets redeemed, really, we said, right? It should be nifdeit. Then we darshan some things from this word, vehefda. So now they're going to say, because it says ye'ada and vehefda, one right after the other, what do you learn? That when you do the ye'ud, okay, tzarich she'yeheh shehut bayom kedei p'diya. There needs to still be enough time in that day in order for her to have been redeemed. Meaning what? That let's say it's 12 o'clock and she still has a few hours of work left. And if the amount of work before she becomes a ne'ara, okay, if the amount of work has the value of a shavah pruta, then that's what she gets married by. You follow? He's basically redeeming her. Okay, and that money, right, he's marrying her with that money that was left of her work.
The Adon is redeeming.
The Adon is, well, he's not really redeeming her, he's marrying her. But he's marrying her with the money that she's now not working. Now, we a little bit have a problem with this, because if you remember, we said there has to be something physical. So there's a little bit of an issue here. So now he says, skipped. Okay, so Mikan Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. From here he learns that there has to be a Sheva Pruta's worth. So what do we see from here? We can infer from his statement here of what we said about him, which is Alma Kasavar must be that he holds Ma'od HaRishono Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu, because if so, you wouldn't need the extra time. You'd be able to redeem her right away. So now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to say the same thing we saw before, which is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Afilu Tema L'Kiddushin Nitnu. No, maybe you don't necessarily need to infer this about Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Maybe you say they were given for Kiddushin, but why do you need that time frame, you need a little bit of time left in the day. Because the pasuk teaches you that, right? Not that the halacha is like that, logic would teach you, but the drasha comes to tell you, despite the fact that you don't need it for the kesef kiddushin, because kesef kiddushin was done way before, right, years ago when he was sold. But the pasuk says yada vehefda to teach you there has to be a little bit of time left before. You can't wait till the very last second. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Omer Adam lebito ktana, tzi v'kibli kiddushayich. Midu Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. So now we're going to say another halacha we can derive from Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda is, the father can tell his daughter, go be a shaliach to accept your kiddushin. Okay, he can make her a shaliach for her kiddushin. Now why is this a kiddush? Because how could he make her a shaliach if she's not of age? Right? How could you send your bito ktana to be the shaliach for, right, this is for her own marriage, but still, she can't accept, she's a ketana. So we can learn it from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda because he allows the woman to basically function as a shaliach of the father. So now they say, Lav Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'od HaRishonim Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu. Now they're going to explain how they get it from him. Did he not say that the Ma'od HaRishonim Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu, B'chimishayir B'ashave Pruta Havi Kiddushe. So what are we going to say? Since what happens here? There's still a Sheva Pruta left over. So what do you see? She's basically the shlicha of the father from way back when to affect the marriage. So she's doing an act of kiddushin. So hachanami loshna. So therefore you would say the same thing in a regular kiddushin case, that he could send the daughter to do it. Because again, the father, according to him, is not involved in the actual act of kiddushin. If we say that the ma'od rishonot affected the kiddushin, then we say, well, the father was there. But if we say that it's not the Ma'od HaRishonot, then she's basically being a messenger to accept her own marriage, which when she's a ketana, we would think that the father would need to be there. So here you see that in a regular kiddushin case, also, he could send the daughter to be the one, even though she's not of proper age. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, HaMekadesh B'milva Sheyesh Aleha Mashkon. Here we're going to learn another halacha from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. If you marry someone with a loan that has a collateral. Okay, I'll tell you this case in a minute. You're Mekudeshet, Midu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. If she owes money and she took out a loan, she gave a collateral to the guy, or even it could be the father probably took out the loan, and they have a collateral of the father or the daughter in their hands. So when he gives back the collateral, now here you have a case where it's actually something physical going on, he gives back the collateral. Right, that there's a few ways of understanding this, but some of them first explain that it's because he gives back the collateral, the item, that can affect the kiddushin. Okay, he gives them back their mashkon, and that can affect the kiddushin, and he can give it straight. So how do we learn this from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Lav Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and then even though he's returning something that belongs to them, you follow? He's not, but what he's saying is he's saying you don't need to pay me the money of the loan anymore, right? That money is going to go toward the kiddushin, and here's your collateral back. So again, it's money. What's the word? It's not actual money because he's not actually passing money back to them. Right? Giving them the mashkon is just giving them their own item back. That's why it's a little unclear here which one we're referring to. Is it because it's a mashkon, or is it really what he's doing is just like she owes, let's say, another 50 shekel of work? Right? So we're saying, oh, you don't have to work for me anymore, the 50 shekel, you'll be married to me. And that 50 shekel that's on paper, basically, right, that's going to be yours. So here also, he's saying, I'm canceling the loan, okay, so the canceled loan of, let's say, 50 shekel, right, and now here's your mashkon back, okay? So the question is, why you need the mashkon? Is it because you need something physical, but then we have a problem because in the Amah case, there really isn't anything physical. So now they're going to say, how do we get that from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Lav Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Ma'oda Rishono Lav L'Kiddushin Nitznu. Right? It's not the Ma'oda Rishono. What is it? It's the 50 shekel of work left that she has to do. Hai Halva'ahi V'hu Gufa Mashkoni V'chi Meshayar V'ashavar Prutu Miyag Havi Kiddushin Hachanami Loshna. So they're saying that this 50 shekel she owes of work is like a halva'ah, and she herself is like the mashkon. And now we're going to see, it's her physical being. There is something physical transpiring her. Her physical body now goes back into her own reshut. Right? She was owned by the slave owner, right? The adon. Now her physical body goes back to her, just like the collateral goes back to her. So we're going to basically say that her body is like the collateral. The loan is like the money she has left to work. And therefore, since it works here, it should also work there. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. Ketzam mitzvah yeyud. Now we're going to learn how does it work. Omer la b'fnei shnayim, hareat mekudeshali, hareat meureseli, afilu b'sof shesh, v'afilu samuch l'shkiyat hakachama, v'noheg ba minhag yishut, v'ena noheg ba minhag shifchut. Okay, he says to her in front of two witnesses, you're mekudeshali, you're meureseli, either one, even if it's the very end of the 6 years, and even if it's just before Shkiyat HaChama, okay, now that she's about to become, the 6 years are about to be up. V'noheg ba minhag ishu, right, so now he treats her like a wife, and he doesn't treat her anymore like a slave. Okay, what exactly those differences are, right, that's a whole, yeah, disturbing. Okay, by the way, a really good way of reviewing all these halachot about an amai vriya is to look at the Rambam, Hilchot Avadim, okay, it's in Sefer Kinyan, Hilchot Avadim Perek Dalet. It has, you'll see like a good summary of all these halachot. Obviously, when you read the Rambam paskins in one way. So you don't see all the opinions, right. But you at least see an approach. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im yesh shehu b'yom kedei la'asot ima shava pruta, mekudeshet, b'im lav ena mekudeshet. This is the famous Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda that we saw, right? It's not good enough to do it samuch l'shkiyat hachama, right? You need a little more time that it's a shava pruta of work. Mashal, now we're going to have a mashal. It's like, now the whole question is going to be, which is the mashal? Tanakama or Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, although it'll be pretty obvious. Mashal la'omer l'isha et chadshili me'achshav la'achar shloshim yom. Marry me now for after 30 days. In other words, I'm giving you money, kesef, now, but it'll be for after 30 days. Uba achir v'kidsha b'toch shloshim yom. Someone else then comes along within those 30 days and marries her. Shemekudeshet l'rishon. Okay, she's clearly, since he said me'achshav, right, she's clearly married to the first guy. And therefore, the second guy isn't anything. So, mashal leman. Who's this mashal according to? Ilem a mashal Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, ha'im yesh shehu p'yom kedei la'asot imo shav p'ruta mekudeshet, v'im lav lo. In other words, it all depends on how much time is left, and that's not what this mashal is saying. So, am Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava, mashal rabbanan pshita. But if you say that this is a mashal rabbanan, it's obvious. Because, right, in other words, what did we say? That when he gives her the money, that when he sells her way back when, right, that's what Chachamim are saying. That you don't need any time left in the day, because what affected the Kiddushin? The money she got in the beginning. And if that's the case, what's going to be the situation? If someone else married her in between, she's not married to him. She's, when the first guy marries her much later, it's going to be as if it was Me'achshav. So he's saying, well, that's Pshita, that's obvious. Why have you been telling us this? Why do we need a Mashal? So they're going to say, Ma'u detema halo amrle me'achshav ka mashmalan. You might have thought that the case of this marriage is different from, right, there's 1 second. Right, you might have thought that even if you don't say me'achshav, it would work. If you say to someone, hitkadshi li la'achar shloshim yom, you might have thought that it would be just like this case. As if we had just this case and we didn't give you the mashal, you might have thought that in a regular kiddushin case, if you say, you're going to be mine in 30 days, here's some kesef kiddushin, and someone comes on day number 15 and marries her, what's the situation? She's going to be married to the guy from day 15 because he didn't say me'achshav. He said in 30 days. And before the 30 days came, someone else married her. So if you just had the ama case, you might have thought that with kiddushin, it would actually be that the first guy gets her. And therefore, they're telling you, no, it has to be, the mashal is telling you, only if he said me'achshav does it work like that. If he didn't say me'achshav, it wouldn't work. And the second guy would actually be married to her, not the first guy.
And in the case of Yehud, you don't need to say anything.
Right, the case of Yehud is as if you said me'achshav. You understand? That's the chidush. that the case of Yehud is exactly like the case of if you said Me'achshav, but it wouldn't be like a case if you didn't say Me'achshav. Okay, and that's what it's coming to teach you. Tanya Idach, here's another bright. Mochir bito b'halach v'kitsha la'achir. He sells his daughter, and then someone else marries her. Sicheg ba'adon u'mikudeshet la'sheni. Okay, if someone else marries her in between, then it's like he was playing games with the Adon. In other words, the Adon gets messed up, and she's actually married to the second guy. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. That makes perfect sense, according to him, because what does he say? The Ma'oda Rishonot, or right, what happened? You gave her, you sold her to be a slave. The assumption of the Adon was that she was going to then eventually marry him. But since Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first money didn't count, then there's no retroactive marriage. And if the father now goes and marries her off to someone else, he's basically like spitting in the face of the Adon. But he can do that, right? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no halachic problem. She's going to be married to the second guy.
She can sell her and send her to marriage.
That's right, exactly. V'chachamim omrim im ratza liya'ed miya'ed. If he does that, he marries her off to the second guy, right? If the original guy wants to be Mia'ed to marry her, the Adon, he's allowed to. And basically, whatever transpired with the other guy is erased. The second marriage is no good because, again, Chachamim hold, again, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Kiddushin is effective from before. So now we're going to have another Mashal, and we're going to have the exact same question. What are we telling this for? Mashal omer li shaharam mekudesha li lachar shloshim yom, without the me'achshav, u'ba'al cher v'kidsha b'toch shloshim yom shemekudeshet l'sheni, right? She's married to the second guy. So again, Shalaman, Ilem al Rabbanan, it obviously isn't Rabbanan, because Ha'amri Rabbanan, in Ratzal Yehe Miyaid, she's really married to the first guy. El Amr al-Acha, B'rei D'Rava, Mashal Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, Pshita. If you're going to say that it's a Mashal to Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, that's obvious. What does he need to tell you? So again, we're going to say, Ma'u D'Tema, Halo Amr la'achar Shloshim Yom, Kamashmalan. You might have thought that if he didn't say to her, La'achar Shloshim Yom, right, if he said, in other words, it's coming to teach you that only when he doesn't say me'achshav does this work. And this is, again, if he, in the marriage case, it would have to be the exact same way. It would have to be that he didn't say me'achshav. If he said me'achshav, then obviously she'd be married to the first guy and not the second guy. Okay, so again, it's just teaching you exactly how to make this comparison between the, right, again, because you don't say the words me'achshav or don't, right, those words don't exist here, so they have to be more specific with this case and what it's similar to. Okay, we'll stop here for today.